that you would just bless her now, pray that you anoint her, and that she would just be able to speak freely and say everything that you put in her heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Should I turn this mic off?
There's a mute button.
Okay, good morning. Thanks for everyone who's here, and thanks for everyone who's joining on the podcast. So this is the final message in our Thanksgiving series. So Cal started us off in the New Testament with a great reminder to be thankful for what you have, not get angry about or jealous about what others have, and if you do, how to deal with it. So that was a good message. And then Kara spoke last week about being thankful for all of God's people in our lives. So just kind of shared testimony of her own life and reminded us of our own journey as well. And this week, I'm going to talk about my expertise in this world, children. So just being childlike and some things that I've learned from my little ones over the years. So we can go ahead and go to the first slide, Twyla. We're going to start in Matthew 18, 1 through 4. So at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So kind of becoming childlike has always baffled me. I love kids. I love being around them all the time. They're always curious. Like, I'm always curious about the reason why Jesus, like, says this and why he values children so much. This verse talks about whoever humbles himself like this child. So we know that, kids are humble. They're in constant need of somebody to take care of them, and that alone is humble. They're vulnerable in that way because they cannot yet provide everything for themselves. And so, like, Jesus especially in this verse is saying, we need to be that way too. Like, we need to know that we can't provide everything for ourselves, and we need to lean on him and lean on others as well. So the next verse that I wanted to just start us off with is in Mark 10, 13 through 16. "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." So children believe what they're told. We know that all the time being Christians, the childlike faith. They believe what they're told. They believe God is for it. You know, like, that's what he's saying here. "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So throughout the New Testament, it's clear that Jesus values children. And the more I work with them, just the more I learn from them. I learn how to be dependent, like Matthew 18 talks about, and that it really is a beautiful thing to be fully dependent on God. I learn how to believe God for who he says he is, even if I'm seeing something different than what he said. But there are some other qualities that I've observed in children that I think we can all learn from. So the first one is to be thankful for the small things. So that's how I'm tying it into the thankful series. So I had some friends just get back from Disney World, and their son is 3. It's the first time he's ever been. And I said, "Hey, like, so what was your favorite part, Cruz?" And he goes, "The smashed pennies," like the little smashed pennies, like your parents could have driven down the road and gotten you one. Like, but that was his favorite part. And then last week we had a Halloween party in my class, and like my room parent planned all these great games, and we did all those things. And then she had this like prize box that they were just kind of like going through and finding their favorite things, and they had balloons in them. So first of all, some of them couldn't blow it up, so they loved the challenge of trying that. And then they didn't know how to tie it. And, like, all the adults were helping with, like, an actually planned game. So then they just blew it up and let it go. And it was, like, more entertaining than the actual games that she had planned. Like, how many parents or grandparents in here have given a child a toy and they're most excited about the box? Like, it's like, this is children. Like, we try to give them this great thing and they're like, I'd really just love a sticker. Like, I'd be fine with just a sticker. If it's smelly, then it's awesome. So kids just have fun doing everything. The smallest things are their favorite. The things that adults might not have noticed or have been super excited about are often the things that they're most excited about. So they just have this wonder that I don't think we should ever lose. And so it's, how do we bring that childlike wonder and thankfulness? And they're tied together. Like, the childlike thankfulness is like that wonder of, I'm just seeing everything as this new being, and everything is so cool. Like, we're learning sight words, and oh my goodness, like, we can barely get through a lesson before they're like, oh my gosh, it's that! You know, and like, some other, I know other people would be annoyed, and I'm like, this is great, they're knowing the word the. Like, we have worked on this for a long time. Like, be excited. Like, I'm like emailing parents, they are excited, just keep it up, you'll do great. I'm sorry that they're seeing every the in the whole world. Like, so research shows that if you handwrite something, you're more likely to remember it. So if you have a piece of paper, if you could take it out, or like start a note on your phone. And I would love for us just to take a minute and talk about all the, or think about and write down all the things that you're thankful for that a child would be thankful for. So all the smashed pennies, the balloons, the boxes. You're not allowed to write down anything that actually matters in life. Or if you just want to brainstorm, you can brainstorm it too, but I'm going to give you a minute. Turn and just share with somebody close to you what you said, what you wrote, what you thought of. They said, you can just shout it out.
I'm always thankful for close parking spaces.
Close park.
Bracelets together, and I thought future tambourine player. So just like the being able to see kids like do fun things.
So observing children do fun things, yeah. Or weird things.
Yeah.
We had two kids this week need an ice pack because they ran into the wall. I was like, I had a really hard time being sympathetic. Like, this little boy was at the, just standing in line for the bathroom, and I turned around and like, he's crying and sobbing. He never cries. I just turned my head and I hit it on the wall. I had such a hard time being sympathetic. You'll be okay. I'm so sorry. Like, biting my tongue. Anybody else want to share out? Yeah?
Two things. This morning, Bessie got up and made, like, little biscuits.
Okay. Biscuits.
Okay. You know, it's like, it's all about the guy's stomach, right, guys? And the other thing is like, I was sharing with these guys, it's like, being the age I am and watching my grandkids, slowing down, and listening to what they say and what they do, and it creates awareness and love.
Mm. Yeah. So grandkids, for those listening on the podcast, some
kids,
that
even
just little
here,
kids, yeah.
That's what they're doing here, and it's like, wow, this is so unique.
Yeah, everything's so fresh.
Yeah.
So some that I thought of were pant zippers. I don't know if you've ever had pants that are zippered on the other side. Like, some pants go this way, and some pants you have to, like, zipper it with your left hand. Like, things that don't actually matter, but I'm really thankful for. Slippers, fuzzy blankets, hairbrushes, beautiful decor, tea, cookies. On the next slide, one of my little girls, we were writing what we were thankful for this week, and she wrote, This green one was the first thing that she wrote, and it says cookies. And then she wrote mom. I was dying. I was like, this sweet girl, she's sitting on the carpet, like, raising her hand, like, I need to share cookies. Like, okay. So the second thing is grief. So I love the way my kindergarten students grieve. Sometimes it's, like, a bit dramatic, at least it seems that way. But we're grieving and mourning all the time. Like, for those of you who have young children, we're grieving everything the whole day. And there are a lot of things in my own kids, in my students' lives that are, like, genuinely need to be mourned. Like, stories that I, like, fall to sleep thinking about, and, like, I don't want to leave them sometimes. But there are a lot of, like, he didn't sit by me on the carpet. She didn't want to play with me at recess. And I miss my mom, even though she's going to pick me up in an hour. Like, I got a paper cut. So in kindergarten, something we talk about often is the size of the problem. Like, is this a big problem, a medium problem, or a small problem? If it's a big problem, then you need an adult, and you need somebody to help you right away. And if it's medium, then maybe you need to ask a friend, or you need to ask an adult in a little bit. You can wait. You don't need to interrupt right now. And if it's small, then it's something you can solve on your own. So as adults, I think we're really good at mourning big things. We know what big problems are. We know the 7 stages of grief. And at the very least, we know that we should grieve things like death, divorce, betrayal. So what I've personally seen lacking in adults is grieving the small things like children do. Grieving small things calls for vulnerability, calls for us to be vulnerable with ourselves. And I've watched too many adults shut off this part of their hearts in the name of growing up. So some things that we might need to grieve: somebody not liking you, somebody not being open to taking your advice. When people get to stages of life before you. Okay, and so those are small problems. Then I have, like, some medium problems, too. So body changes, the loss of a project at work, decisions you made in your past that are still affecting your daily life today, shifts in relationships, unanswered prayers. So I think as adults, it's really often to glide past these issues and say, like, oh, but it's not a big issue. I shouldn't, like, deal with it. And dealing with it could be something like, oh, I'm sad that this happened, and just acknowledging the sadness, and that's it. But I think as adults, we brush past that, and then it slowly builds into, like, a bitterness that we didn't even know was there because we're not acknowledging every stop. So just if we don't mourn when relationships change, we'll forever be vulnerable to the bitterness that can pop up at any moment. We don't mourn children who aren't walking with the Lord. It's hard for us to be thankful for others who do come to know the Lord. If we never grieve unanswered prayers, then we slowly build a wall between us and the Lord, and we're never breaching that. We're just saying, oh, I'm gonna stop asking God for stuff because he's not answering it in the way that I thought he should answer me. So lack of mourning in any situation makes us vulnerable to bitterness. So I worked at a golf range for 14 years, as most of you know. I started working there when I was 15. So it was like this 15-year-old, like, little girl knew nothing about golf, and there are all these old men who come into the golf range. And I was, like, so appalled at how bitter old men could be. No offense. Like, if you're an old man, you know that old men can be bitter. And old women, but it was only old men that came in, mostly. And so, like, as the years went on, I had multiple people betray me in pretty serious ways. I watched people leave. I watched people die. And unfair things happened to people I loved again and again and again. And I started to, like, kind of see how people could get this way when they just go through life. Like, life is hard. And, like, these old men had walked through hardships that I knew nothing about. And most of them probably didn't know the Lord and know how to, like, deal with them and forgive. But they had let life go by without stopping to mourn and forgive, and therefore carried a lot of bitterness with them. And it's evident. Like, we know, we've seen it on people that we've walked with. Like, we've seen it, like, I saw it on my own grandpa. I saw, I, you know, like, I see it on people that are even my age that are that just haven't dealt with things in their lives. So, and I would even go as far to say that they probably dealt with a lot of the big problems, the big situations, like loss of a loved one or things like that. But when you don't deal with the small things, like, it's going to turn into bitterness. It's going to stay there. And I know the Lord. I know he's after those small things in our hearts because he wants all of us. So Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." So I think it's really important. I think we're good at seeing that and thinking that for others. I think it's hard for us to treat ourselves this way. So when we read these verses, like, put yourself in it. So let all bitterness towards yourself, all wrath towards yourself, and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with the malice. Be kind to yourself. Be tender-hearted to yourself, forgiving yourself as Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. So it might sound something like this. Self, I forgive you for believing that lie and operating out of a place of bitterness. Holy Spirit, would you come fill that place with your truth and help me operate out of a place of wholeness? Yeah, I just think it's really important, and it's how we grow in self-awareness of what's going on in my mind and how am I condemning myself in my mind? Because I think when we stop and pause, where at least this is true of me, maybe it's not true of you, but I know I am harsh to myself in my mind, and I would never treat somebody the way I treat myself, or like, and even like things that just fly by. So I'd like to just pause for another few minutes. This one's just going to be on your own though, and invite the Holy Spirit to just those things that we need, to places of bitterness or forgiveness that we need to forgive ourselves for. So like one that's even like super small that I've been through is like, I forgive myself for always being late. Like, and just like the way I've been like, oh, of course you're late. You're always late. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what's happening in my mind right now? Like, shut up. So again, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to condemn us. He comes to convict us, and it's kind. So if you're hearing something that's not kind right now, I just rebuke that in Jesus' name. That's not what he's about. But he is about you being a whole person. So Holy Spirit, would you come once again? And would you reveal the small places in our lives that we need to forgive ourselves and that we might need to forgive others? Things that we've done in the past that still affect us today. So maybe a decision that you made, but it's something you deal with every day. The example that I'm thinking about, because I don't think it applies to anybody, is, and maybe it does, so there's no condemnation, but if you smoked for a long time and now you have something like COPD or you have trouble breathing, like it's just that daily reminder of, oh, this is a mistake I made so long ago and it's still affecting me today. I don't think it's that kind of situation. I think it's more like patterns that we made or decisions that we made that are still affecting us today. And the Lord is saying, come let me into those places, because there's forgiveness that I'm offering that I need you to receive. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. I ask that you would continue to do this, that you would continue to bring freedom, that we walk so well as a body of believers in finding the big things to be free from, and not that we'll be obsessed with the little things, but Lord, we just give you control of them. We just say that they're yours, and we're open to dealing with them. We're willing to be vulnerable and go the places we need to go to deal with the small things so that we can be whole. Thank you for the wholeness that you bring, that it's kind, that it's sweet, that it's gentle, that it's loving. Okay, so then the last thing that I love about kids and am also frequently annoyed with is that they ask. They're so good at asking. They ask, and I'm like, if I said no to her, then I'm going to say no to you. You just watched me say no to her. Like, why are you asking me this? Or, like, I don't know about all the parents in the room, but sometimes I've been mad and just needed, like, a sweet second to calm down, and then they're like, Ms. Harsha, I need to tell you something. I'm like, oh, my gosh, child, like, read the room. Like, now is not a time. But they're like, they just ask, and they don't have any shame in asking. And so just like a quick rabbit trail, when I think about when I was a child, I felt safe when I could ask and ask and ask. So like if your children or your grandchildren or somebody in your life is feeling like they can ask and ask and ask, to me, that's a sign of I feel safe with you. And I know that in my own life, when I didn't feel safe, I didn't ask. So like, it's annoying, but it's also like this sweet thing of, hey, I really value you and I know I'm safe with you, mom or dad or aunt or uncle or teacher. And then the last few verses aren't in the slide, so you could just maybe put up the blank one. But Matthew 7:7-11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And then James 4:2-4. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So that's a verse that just is always like in my mind. You do not have because you do not ask. Like, we just have to ask. So last year in December, I was just praying through what 2019 would bring, and I was asking the Lord like for insight or words, you know, like wisdom of how do I grow in 2019, or what does it look like, or what are, you know, moves that you want me to make. And I heard him whisper a lot of things that I'm really glad I didn't know the full meaning about. I feel like we're all there in life. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't know what that meant. Like, or I'm so glad I saw only one part of that as you were speaking to it. But one of the things that he said, ask for anything. And it was this like sweet father voice of like, you're safe with me and you have freedom. Ask me for anything. And it was just a year, like 2018 was a year of, and 2019, the Lord showing me that I'm better than you can think or imagine. Like, I'm better. Like, I personally know how to walk through suffering. I know that. I know suffering is good. I've walked through a lot of it. But the Lord is saying, I'm also better than you can think or imagine. Like, I'm also so good that, like, you thought this, and I went here. Like, I went way far beyond it. And so, sorry, just finding my spot in my notes. So that was one part of it. And then the other part of it, when he said that, was just this trust in his heart towards me of, I trust that, like, you're asking things. I trust that you're going to ask the things on my heart because you're close to it. Like, it was a sweet trust that the Lord had. And, like, I knew, like, you know how you just know? Like, I knew when he said, ask me for anything, it was twofold. So as I was praying this morning, I felt the Lord's heart for that for us today. I hear the Lord, and this is something that I'm kind of like, I wouldn't share unless I really felt like the Lord was saying that. Is like, will you be vulnerable with me and ask? Like, there are things, it takes vulnerability to ask and expect. It takes childlike faith to do that. God is asking us to humble ourselves, seek his face, and ask him what's on his heart. But he's also asking you today, what's on your heart? What do you want? And what do you need? And so, again, it's not, I hope there's no traces of prosperity gospel in this, nothing like, but just that God is our Father, and we are children, and he's saying, what do you want? Like, that's what we ask our kids for Christmas. What do you want? God just saying, What do you want? And would you have enough vulnerability to ask me for it? Even though there are times you've asked me for things, and I've not given them to you in the way you wanted them, in the way you expected me to answer. And that's one of those small grieving places that we need to go to the Lord and say, I'm really hurt that I asked you for this and I needed it and you didn't come through for me. And God's saying, don't let those places stop you from asking, because there are a lot of things that I want to give you, that I want you to ask for. But you need to forgive. It's almost like you're forgiving God, or just like going to him in this sweet place of innocence and saying, I don't even understand it. I don't understand what happened. I still am choosing to believe like a child would that you are good, that you're my dad, and that you're going to provide for me, and that you have provided for me. So yeah, that's really all I have for today, but I would like to pray that, because I feel like God's moving in that, and even just give us a couple more minutes to let him speak to you. So God, we just... The picture that I often have is the Lord on his throne, and we're his children. And when we don't know who we are, we're scared to enter the room. And when we kind of know who we are, we enter the throne room and we just kind of stand below. And just when we fully know who we are, we just go sit on his lap. And we know that there's room for us there. Some of us are seeing the needs of others and just... and thinking there's no room for my needs. That's something that the Lord wants to call out today. Like there is room for your needs. You can see the needs of others, and you can still have needs. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the vulnerability that's in our hearts right now for you. I thank you that you don't disappoint us. That even the times we felt disappointed, that we don't understand, that we bring them to you and you'll bring clarity. And the clarity might come later, but you'll at least bring the truth of, I need you to trust me. There are a lot of times our parents have told us, or we as parents tell our children, I'm just going to need you to trust me. I know you can't see it now and you can't understand. And if I tried to explain it, it'd be weird and it wouldn't make sense. And God's saying, I just need you to trust me. I need you to trust that I was there in that moment when it felt like silence. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. Thank you that you're a good father. I ask for the needs of the people in this room. The Lord said to me once, if you knew how much your prayers move me, you would pray a lot more. Even the prayers of our hearts. So I feel like the Lord's also just wants me to share a testimony. So there was... I think it was about a year ago. It was my last birthday. I was going shopping. I had a coupon for a store. I'm all about coupons. And I found this really cute purse, and I really wanted it. Like, I really needed, like, a purse that I could fit, like, my... It's that purse right there, giving the story away. Like, where I could fit all my journals, and it could fit, like, a laptop if I need it. Like, I was looking for a certain kind, and my other one was falling apart. And I found this one, and it was so cute, and it was, like, a name brand, and even though I was at like one of those stores that sells name brand stuff for less, it was still like $100. And so I was like, well, that's like, it's never going to happen is kind of where I thought, like, I'm never going to spend $100 on a purse. And then a few weeks later, so that was like October, a few weeks later, I kept getting these like mileage things for, I used to have like a mile credit card and all these miles. And they sent it to me like years before that, saying they're about to expire. And I was like, I know, but I can't get a flight for it. Yada, yada. It was about to expire. It should have already expired. Somehow they just kept sending it. And I was like, fine, I'll just look at it. Like, why not? Just see if there's anything I can buy. So I log in, and I found out I had way more miles than I thought I did, because I know I use them. Like, I'm like I know them, I checked them, I used them, I went places, and I logged in, and I had just enough to buy the purse that I found at that place. And so it was just those things where it was like, even if like my other purse was falling apart, could I have just used my backpack? Like, probably, you know, like, was it a need that actually matters? Not really, but like the Lord knew it mattered to me, and it's a purse, like it doesn't matter, you know, like, and that's God's heart. That's God's heart today. So like I say that to be like, well, what do you need that you like don't even see how it could come to happen? Like, I couldn't even have made up these miles that I thought weren't there that are magically there, and then this purse is there for just enough miles. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, just in time for my birthday. And so I feel like that's God's heart for us all today, is like, what do you want? What do you need? I'm better than you can think or imagine. So yeah, that's all I have. In conclusion, isn't that my code word?